The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:38 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. Move on to our next story. When we're talking about being citizen-minded, one question that comes up, or one point that comes up, is local council elections.
Yeah.
And our next story is going to be about whether Malaysians are ready for local council elections. This is coming after a survey by the Centre for a Better Tomorrow, or CENBET, that found that a large proportion of Malaysians want local elections, but this is true to form, at the same time are sceptical that it will lead to improvements in their lives.
Yes, I see that. So this survey that we're talking about, it found that 58% of respondents are actually in favour of bringing back the third vote, as they call it. And this is because they believe that it will help make city governance more effective, ensure good governance, and lead to better responsiveness. But at the same time, there's also a large number of people who believe that local elections will lead to slower decision-making and also create the inconvenience of multiple voting.
And yeah, like we said earlier, also, a lot of people aren't that convinced that local elections can form real change. So only about a third think that it's going to lead to a fair representation of local communities, reduction in corruption, or improvement in local economic growth. It also seems that there is a kind of an issue with the literacy level when it comes to the functions of local, state and federal government, especially among younger respondents, which I think would suggest that there is a lack of understanding that needs to be dealt with before local elections are introduced.
So, I mean, the government does have intentions to revive local council elections, and discussions on reviving them would be held in Parliament this June. Zuraida Kamarudin, who is the Minister of Housing and Local Government, last week pointed out some impact that this move might have.
I think not a big challenge in terms of implementing it, but probably the state government has to look into how they coordinate their distribution of power with the local government if this thing happens. And the public fear of maybe it will not get a good representation of councillors, because at the moment, the councillors are appointed by the political parties.
So that was Zuraida Kamarudin, Minister of Housing and Local Government. And I've just always been in favour of the third vote. I think that we often talk about how things are over-politicised in our country, and also how things don't get done. And I'd like to think that this would go some way towards addressing both those issues, because you would be able to vote on a more on-the-ground level for somebody who will be working on the ground for you, right? We're talking about things that affect your day-to-day life. We're talking about things that affect your neighbourhood, you know, your ability to move around and enjoy living where you live. And because of that, I think that having that level of accountability and also perhaps having more localness attached to that is not a bad thing. I do think that having more elections is going to be kind of a pain.
Costly as well.
Very costly, yes. And that's absolutely true. But I also think that at some point we just need to knuckle down and say, do we want to get things going or not, right? Do we want to actually make changes that we think are going to make their own changes in turn? And I would say yes, and I think that this is a part of that.
And I also think what's great about having the local elections is just touching on a point that you mentioned like half an hour ago about the feeling of powerlessness that some people may feel when this whole political theatre is going on somewhere in Putrajaya. The feeling of powerlessness that we can't change anything in terms of what touches the local community the most. So having the local elections opens up the opportunity for people in the community to participate in politics, to run for issues and agendas that they feel is important to that community. And I think that is a great thing in terms of distributing power to people at the lower levels of society, if that's what you call it. Those who aren't the political elite, those who are in the actual community, have that opportunity to bring change that they feel is needed. So things like that matter to people like income and job opportunities, maybe that can be addressed progress through initiatives that they can organise if they were to become the local councillors. And I think that's a great opportunity for them.
Also, you would hopefully be able to surface more local issues upwards, right?
Yes.
So on the one hand, you would have people able to work for you on that level. On the other hand, hopefully, you would have people who would be able to represent your voice, is what it comes down to. Of course, we sound really idealistic. I mean, this is in an ideal scenario, right? And as the survey from SenBet indicates, not everybody believes that that ideal scenario is going to happen. But we'd like to hear from you. Are you in favor of the third vote? Are you in favor of local elections? Tell us why. Tell us why not. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Derek Fernandez, who is a lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor. That's coming your way after this. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:44 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman. We're talking today about local council elections because a new survey from SenBet basically found that a large proportion of Malaysians want local elections and also aren't that convinced that it will actually lead to tangible improvements. So we want to know how you feel. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us is Derek Fernandez, lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor. Derek, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're welcome and a very good evening to everybody.
So firstly, what do you make of these survey results on local elections?
Well, the survey results are quite consistent with what we all know and what has been the theme from 2008, that the public want local government elections. It is nothing new. In fact, local government elections were held prior in this country, prior to them being suspended in 1964 due to the Indonesian-Malaysia confrontation. However, that suspension was never lifted and the Local Government Act 1976 abolished local government elections. So it's not a new thing for this country. Local government elections were there before. It was suspended. It was never reinstated. And of course, there is a growing demand by the public for local government elections based on a single principle: there can be no taxation without representation. And a local government is a taxing body because it imposes taxes by way of assessment and other types of charges, which are compulsory, which a ratepayer has to pay.
So what do you think is driving this interest to bring back the local elections?
Well, the simple answer is better accountability. This has been a continued theme in 2008 by Pakatan Rakyat, demanding local government elections, at that time Pakatan Rakyat, now Pakatan Harapan, but at that time Pakatan Rakyat, for better accountability of local government to its citizens, to its residents. Now, presently, there are no elections. So I and many other local councillors are appointed by the state government, by the state authority. Political parties have a say in who they procure as candidates. In 2008, there was a promise made to civil society that 25% of local authorities will be filled with non-political party members, either professionals, NGOs, and GIs. That has been steadily watered down over the last 18 years, over the last 10 years, sorry, so much so there's very, very few truly NGOs or independent professionals there. Now, in this atmosphere, the question arises is, what if a councillor does not perform, keep as expected? Who removes that councillor? Presently, councillors serve at the pleasure of the state authority. And therefore, there is a difficulty because that particular councillor is not directly accountable to the public. And there's a big difference between being accountable to a state authority, a political party, and being accountable to the public directly. And it will affect, in many cases, decision-making by the local authority, because when decisions are made, the factors that have to be taken into account on the wider public interest may be different where you have to serve different masters. I think the classic illustration of this would be DBKL. I use DBKL because that's the most extreme form of PBT or local authority, Pihak Berkuasa Tempatan, whereby you only have one person, the mayor, exercises executive functions there. There's no councillors at all. So there's not even any councillors there. They've got an advisory board whose advice does not have to be listened to, who meets maybe twice a year and has got no real role in the decision-making powers of the local authorities. You can imagine you have only one person, and that mayor of Kuala Lumpur is under tremendous pressure to make, when he or she makes decisions, in this case it's he, makes a decision, because he has to answer the public, he has to answer the MPs, he has to answer the minister, who has an office in the same building. So can you imagine the difficulties when matters are put before him with competing masters telling him or to do this or do that? Well, if you are appointed directly by the public, then you would have to make a judgment as to what the public wants and be held accountable to the public for that decision.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the concerns that have come out on the other side of this argument, right? So 67% of the respondents think that it might lead to more red tape. There's also concerns that it will add to political fatigue. Could you talk to us about whether you think that's likely to happen and how we can get around this?
Okay, there will be no red tape in government administration simply means procedures. That means when you apply for a license, you got to fill up a form, you got to go through that, it's got to go to various committees, so on and so forth. That's what you call red tape. There'll be no difference in red tape whether somebody is elected or somebody is appointed. Because even now, if you're elected, appointed, you sit there, and whatever decisions you make, there is a process, it's process-driven. And changing your accountability from towards the state as opposed to towards the public will not increase red tape. On the contrary, it actually might reduce red tape. Now, why do I say that? Because if you are elected and you're confident that you are making decisions in the interest of the people who elected you, you will move towards actually cutting down red tape and procedures which you find inconvenient but yet has been followed because the state government has imposed those procedures on all local authorities. I'll give you a simple example. Supposing, and I'm using one which this is just for theoretically speaking about it, but it does happen. For instance, let us say you live in a city which is run by a local authority, whereby your elected, in this case you had elected representatives, are performing, and you as a community feel that they are spending a lot of time, and you wish to remunerate them higher, because you feel there's value, they feel they are performing, and you feel that they should be remunerated more so that they spend more time in the council. Well, you can't just do that today, because when you try to change any form of compensation, your remuneration or hire fire policies, the state government and the federal government will want to streamline the same policies for all the local authorities. And very rarely would you get one local authority acting on their own and saying that for this particular local authority, we want to do A because it's best for our citizens when everywhere else does it as B. So they will just comply and conform. So certainly, if you have sufficient public support for the candidates, it may actually lead to a lot of cutting down of red tape rather than continuing to abide by red tape simply because it applies to everybody. And in your particular instance, the red tape is a hindrance. It may not be a hindrance in another locality.
So just touching on the issue of remuneration that you brought up, Atlas has sent in a message. He's not in favour of the third vote, and Atlas has serious concerns about councillors who runs for election under current circumstances. Monthly pay is around 2,000 ringgit. I'd rather have the current system where the councillors and politicians get along well together. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, that is an incorrect view. As it is now, many councillors are already politicians, because they are appointed by political parties. In fact, many of the councillors have used local authority as a stepping ground for both state and federal elections. So to say that the councillors are not politicians is not correct. The second thing is, unlike state assembly persons who are given remuneration, and as well as federal members of parliament who get salaries, they get pensions and so on and so forth, councillors do not. They only get an allowance. Now, certainly, when you look at a remuneration model, the public would want to know what value for money am I getting from my local authority. So certainly, if you want to attract the brightest and the best, even through the election process, you certainly want a healthy or a fair remuneration plan in place. Failing which, you have a situation where you're not paying a proper remuneration, and yet these people make critical decisions that affect a substantial economic growth within a city, you would not get the kind of excellence which you want. So if you go for elections, then you should be treated like the rest of the elected representatives. You are paid a remuneration, you perform. You don't perform, the public will remove you from office. That's how it should be.
So another thing that came up was this idea of education in terms of who does what. So how do you suggest we do that? How do you think we should get the message across accurately in terms of the different roles that local government, local councils, federal government, for example, all these different layers?
Okay. Yeah. Again, that argument in the survey was, I mean, of course, that's what public had said, but it was not analyzed in depth enough. Even today, if I were to ask you on a particular factual situation, whether it's a matter which falls under the federal MP or a state MP or a state assembly person, most people will get it wrong.
Right.
Simply because they do not know how government functions are broken down. Of course, in cases where you educate yourself through the newspapers and through media, social media, through BFM radio, you begin to know that a drain problem may be a local authority problem, or it may be under a problem under the state government, under the JPS, or it may even be a federal government problem. So it's not something that is understandable if people get their roles confused, and it is only through education, through working through its resident associations who seem to deal with local government. So the people who deal with local government a lot seem to sort of now figure out, okay, if there's a snake in my garden, I don't call MPJ, I need to call the fire department, or I need to call the wildlife. So it's basically, you have to let it go, you have to appoint the people, and people begin to know what they do and what they don't do, and they can always ask that particular councillor which they have elected, hey, is this your job or is that somebody else's? And I'm sure that education process continues. But there's nothing wrong with people getting confused. Most people don't even know that. I mean, you know, if you drive your car across Jalan Gasing in the middle of the traffic light, there's a problem there. Is it an MPPJ traffic light problem? Or is it a JKR? Not many people know that the ram goes over the federal highway, so that falls under the jurisdiction of the JKR. So, yeah, certainly people do not know. And in fact, I think many assemblymen, assemblywomen get complaints which are local authority problems, and many local authority councils get complaints which are assembly men's problems or women's problems because it involves land and so on and so forth. So it's quite understandable.
So we have about a couple of minutes left before you have to go to the news. So I just want to ask you, YB Zuraida brought up the point that local elections will cause state governments to face challenges in terms of power distribution with local government. So what conflict do you see arising in this circumstance?
Well, you see, the traditional role was to treat, I mean, let's say prior to the confrontation in Indonesia, there were local government elections. When they suspended the local government elections, state governments had a lot more power over local authorities. That power stemming from the fact that I appoint you. And if you don't perform or you don't do what I say, I can remove you. So that control had led to many local authorities being treated like office in a government department. But as local governments matured in city areas, they began to have a more dynamic model of decision making, and the state government does still enjoy, under the Local Government Act, a 10-set policy, general policy, which in law must be followed by the local authority, whether elected or not. The problem is when state governments go beyond that. For instance, the state government says, I want you to approve this application. Now, that is going too far. You can say that in deciding this application, you have to take into account these factors. But to go deciding into all types of these types of applications, you have to take into account all these factors. But to go into and say you must approve this one, then they've overstepped their margin. So certainly they will, well, put it this way. We've had Selangor being opposition state for 2008. We were able to work with the federal government. There was no issue there. And of course, we have yet to see an example where we have a state, a local authority, which is of a different political alignment to the state government. But if people are professional, it should all work out, because the boundaries of who does what is quite established in the law. It is set out in the law what state government should do and what they should not do. And in the end, I do not think that it will affect very much. It'll affect, of course, individual political power, but it'll not affect the running of the state. I mean, this is Malaysia's not the only country. Many countries have got local government elections, UK, Australia, and all that. So this is not rocket science. It's been done many times before. It's, I mean, the argument is as silly as saying, it'll affect the, if you have a state government elections, then it'll affect the power sharing between the state authority and the federal government. We have federal governments under one government, but Selangor was under a different political alignment. There was, there are problems up and down, but it is all overcome if everybody has the public interest at heart.
Absolutely. Derek, again, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much.
That was Derek Fernandez, lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor, weighing in on local council elections. We would like to hear from you. We'll get to your messages after the news. You can call us also, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Evolving education for a changing world. Expand your career opportunities and earn an MBA from University of Cincinnati Online Lindner College of Business. Designed for busy professionals, UC Online MBA is flexible, personalized, and supports students from application all the way through graduation. Get the world-class degree you deserve without sacrificing work or family commitments. Apply now at online.uc.edu/MBA.